I'm going to share a testimony from someone that he's in the Navy. He used to come to the church. They have moved away. And then we're going to have two people share their testimonies also of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just excited. I feel like receiving and walking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit is something that it seems as Christians that there are a lot of Christians that have some basic information about the experience or about the Holy Spirit, but walking in the fullness of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and of what that looks like, we're just going to be discussing that, and we're going to read a lot of scripture and then, like I said, hear a couple of testimonies, because what I have learned is the experience itself can look different for many people. And that's okay. God is a God of variety. And so we see throughout the scripture, variety throughout the scripture in the way that God ministered to people. So I want to start off by sharing a testimony. So those of you that know Jeremy Wehrheim, he used to, like I said, attendant here, he's in the Navy. And he was telling me that his experience, my mom at the time when he was out to sea when Melanie started coming to the church. And so when he got back from sea, then he came to church with Melanie. And at that time, my mom was teaching a Sunday school class specifically on the Holy Spirit. And so it was like kind of like a pull-out class where we still had the adult Sunday school class, and then she was teaching a specific class on the Holy Spirit. And so Melanie had gone to that class. So Jeremy naturally went to that class with Melanie. And he said that he sat through the class, but did not receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, did not have the experience of speaking in tongues, of being filled with the Spirit, and was very frustrated. He said, because, you know, I am, like, he's the type just very, like, go-getter, like, we're just going to make this happen, you know, and it didn't happen. And so he was really frustrated, he said. And so, but then he went out to sea, like, months later, and while he was out to sea, he said he was on an old laptop that he had listening to the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, which is an older song called, I think it's called Dive, but I typed out some of the lyrics. And the lyrics to the song say, "There is a supernatural power in this mighty river's flow. It can bring the dead to life, and it can fill an empty soul and give a heart the only thing worth living and worth dying for. But we will never know the awesome power of the grace of God until we let ourselves get swept away into this holy flood. So if you take my hand, we'll close our eyes and count to three and take the leap of faith. Come on, let's go. I'm diving in. I'm going deep. In over my head, I want to be caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head, I want to go. The river's deep. The river's wide. The river's water is alive. So sink or swim, I'm diving in." And that's the, of course, in John 7, Jesus said, he said, "Come to me, all you who are thirsty." And he said, "And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." The Bible says, "And this he spoke," he, Jesus, "of the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit had not been given yet because Jesus had not been glorified." So the river of the presence of the Holy Spirit came from Jesus. That was the metaphor that he used in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. And so it was interesting. So he said he was listening to this song, and then all of a sudden, it was too much to worship, too much to speak, he said, and the words just came. And he started speaking in tongues. And so it's that was his experience. So I want to show you now a couple of scriptures. Why does it matter? And let's just talk about this, why it's so important that we receive the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, we've talked about it before, that when we are saved, we receive the indwelling, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so why do we need another experience with the Holy Spirit? Well, in Luke 24, verse 49, so we're going to read that verse. This is Jesus talking to his disciples after he was resurrected and before he was ascended. And so in Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," or wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Okay, so you can be seated. So endued, that word endued with power means, it comes from two words, Greek words. One of them is like means a fixed position. The other one means to go into, to be plunged into. So the definition together, according to Strong's Greek dictionary, is to, in the sense of seeking into a garment, to invest with clothing, to array, to have put on, to be clothed upon. So to be clothed with power from the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus told his disciples to wait. Now in John 20, and I've shared this before, but in John 20, verse 22, before Jesus was ascended, the Bible says he breathed on his disciples and he said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." Now, I believe that that was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That was characteristic of the indwelling presence that we receive as Christians. But he told them to wait for this experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we see that Jesus didn't say, "Okay, you have the Holy Spirit, now you're good." He told them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive it. Now, he didn't, as far as we can see, give them any indication of how long they were going to be waiting. That is so hard when God does that. And God does that. I mean, he will tell you, wait on me. Wait for this situation. Sometimes when we don't have a yes or a no, but we don't feel like God is saying no about something, God is saying wait. And waiting is so hard on God when you're waiting on God. It's hard on the flesh. But it is one of those things that builds our faith. Because when I choose to believe and to wait on God and say, "God, you are good. And you said for me to wait. And you are going to answer this prayer that I'm praying. You're going to do what you said you were going to do." The Bible says, wait on the Lord and he will strengthen your heart. As we wait on him, he strengthens our heart. That word wait also, it means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. I believe as we wait on God, many times our will is bound up with his. Because sometimes at the beginning, our will is our will and his will is his will, and they're not connected. And as we wait on God and as we allow him to humble us through waiting, because we often have our way and think that God should do things our way, and God doesn't bow to doing things our way, even if we think he should. And so waiting is one of those processes that humbles us, that teaches us. And so Jesus told the disciples to wait. Now, of course, God always has a reason for the waiting. He's never just like dangling something in front of us just because it can. There's always a reason. And I, for the longest time growing up in church, thought that the day of Pentecost was called that because that was the day that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I was like, oh, that's what it meant. You know, Pentecost means 50. It was 50 days after Passover, and it was a part of a feast. But I just thought, oh, you know, that's why they called it that, is because the people were baptized in the Holy Spirit that day. God always has a plan. Like, it might look like he doesn't. It might look like he waits until the last minute sometimes. Like my mom, you know, and I were talking about that the other day. But he always has a reason and a plan. And so he told his disciples to wait. So in Acts chapter 1, also we're going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And this is Luke is, because Luke, the apostle Luke wrote the, or the Luke, the physician, wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And so Acts was like the second book that he wrote to continue explaining what Jesus did when he came and what happened after Jesus was ascended. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it explains what Jesus said also in a little bit more detail. And so in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," so Jesus and his disciples, "he," Jesus, "commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.'" We talked about that all this past month. In John 16, in John 14, Jesus said, "Wait for the promise. It's better for you if I go away, because if I go away, then the Comforter can come." And so here, he had told them about it, but he said, "Which you have heard from me." Verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." We're going to look later that you need both. You need to be baptized in water, because that is a picture of what God does, of how we are a new creature in Christ, of how the old us goes down, of how we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then we need to be baptized in the Spirit. So John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" So they're thinking, this is when Jesus is going to set up his kingdom and they're going to reign with him and, you know, all of that's going to happen. They had a misconception of exactly the turn of events and how it was going to go and the timing in which all of that was going to happen. So don't feel terrible. as a Christian when your timing is off, when you think that when God is saying this is going to happen, that it's going to happen right now. That happened with the disciples lots of times, you know, as they thought God was saying. So they said, Lord, are you going to then restore the kingdom to Israel? So Jesus said, he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, like Rick preached on and read this morning. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just so that we can look spiritual. It's not a, we receive, there are multiple reasons, and we could spend a lot of times talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all the benefits of speaking in tongues. But we're just going to cover the scriptures that I specifically felt led to tonight. But we need to understand there is power that comes for us to witness with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need power in order to be a witness. And I believe that there is a reason that God connects the words that we speak with being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The next set of verses, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. So this is when it happened to the disciples. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Maybe it took them 10 days to all get in one accord. I don't know. But they were in one accord at this point. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, fire had represented God's presence before. In the Old Testament, there was a pillar of cloud that led the people by day during the time in the wilderness, and a pillar of fire that led them by night. So it's interesting to me that now they each had a little tongue of fire on their, you know, above their head, the Bible says. But fire had represented God's presence to them before. And of course, Matthew 3 says that John the Baptist has said that there's one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that had been connected before. Of course, just because we've heard something spoken doesn't necessarily we always make the connection. Often we have to hear things multiple times in order to make the connection and for us to get a revelation of what God is saying. And I believe that's how it was for the disciples as well. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we have to submit our tongue to the Holy Spirit in order to speak the words, the tongues. Now, I've talked to many different people, and many people have different experiences. For me, I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was standing in front of the church, not this church, but the other church where we were when I was 10, and the evangelist prayed over us, and I was like, my whole body was shaking. Sometimes people have physical evidence of the presence of God. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes people shake. Sometimes people fall. Sometimes, you know, they do, you know, sometimes they don't. I believe partly it has to do with just how the Holy Spirit is ministering to that person. Some, you know, we experience the presence of God in different ways. That happens to me all the time. Like sometimes I experience worship, I experience God's presence so strong that I weep and cry, or that I feel the presence of God. Other times it is a fight in my mind to keep my mind focused on God, because my mind is wanting to go, because I'm feeling nothing in the physical and my mind wants to go everywhere else. And it is a fight to say, God, you are worthy that I would focus my attention on you. And so it's not just about the feeling. But so for me, there was a feeling at that particular time. And, you know, I was shaking, but I remember it being a fight for me to speak words out of my mouth. Those of you, I've said this lots of times before, I am a very reserved person by nature. I have learned how to worship and not be afraid. But that has been a process of me learning. By nature, I'm very reserved. And like, it was just very hard for me. I've heard other people, like, I'm going to ask actually Rick, if you will just share, he's going to share his experience with receiving the baptism, because Rick and I are a little different. Our experiences tend to be a little different. So
I grew up as a Catholic family. I was an altar boy. And so when I first went to a church service, Pentecostal service, my sister and at that time her boyfriend had invited me to. And I went, and at first you heard all the weird, you know, the speaking in tongues, and it was weird to me. Probably was weird to many of you as well when you first heard it. And so I kept going to the church service. She had invited me, and I kept going, and I gave my life to the Lord. And it wasn't years later, I can't remember how many months it took, but it was during one church service, and just the worship was just like how worship is here. God was moving, the Spirit was moving, and I just closed my eyes, and I was just, you know, singing with the music, and then all of a sudden, my language changed. And there might be a thought, I'm not sure how many of you experienced this, you had this thought, you're just faking, you're just, you know, imitating somebody else. But it was more than that. And so it's hard to explain. It's like me trying to explain to you how a rocket goes into outer space and all the fuel that's needed. It's hard for me to, I don't understand any of that. And so, but that's what happened. And the interesting thing was, is that I had my hands raised, I remember, and I just began to just speak in tongues. Like scripture says, the Spirit gives you utterance. So that morning, I didn't plan it. I didn't plan to sound like somebody else. I didn't plan to make it sound weird. It was just during that time I began to speak. And the interesting thing, my sister, she kind of grabbed a hold of my arm because the music, I guess, had died down a little bit. And so she felt really bad that, you know, because she stopped me. But she thought I was still singing, but I was, you know, speaking in tongues. And so, but from that moment on, you know, Spirit language just kept coming, so.
Amen. And you were how old at the time?
14.
Okay. So, yes, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something that is just for adults. That's why it's great, I think, when children are baptized in the Holy Spirit, because often they understand on a spiritual level, like I've said before, things that they might not be able to understand on an intellectual level. But the cool thing about God is that we don't always have to understand. In fact, I have gotten very frustrated in trying to study for messages, trying to explain spiritual concepts logically. And finally just come to the end of myself and go, God, I can't explain this, because if I try, you know, it all of the things that I'm trying to explain in a logical sense, you know, sometimes we just have to receive by faith and have a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'm trying to explain something that the Holy Spirit is like, Shannon, that's my job. You know, I'm trying to give people a revelation when that's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm learning. It's my job to preach what he leads me to preach. It's his job to give the revelation. And as we mix faith with what God is showing us, then the Holy Spirit gives us revelation. And so I think that's why it's important that we allow children to, you know, to recognize the presence of God and to be filled with the Spirit. So it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance, the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches. One of the biggest lies about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that you are copying somebody else, like Rick said. That was the first lie that I heard in my head when I started speaking in tongues, is you are copying your mom. When I prayed with a little girl at camp, and I was talking to her, because I would sometimes, when I was praying with teenagers at camp, just stop and talk to them. Sometimes we make everything spiritual so weird and ethereal, like you can't stop and talk about it. You can't explain anything. You just have to, you know, I mean, sometimes it's good to just be practical, you know, and just say, hey, are you, you know, do you have questions? Are you confused? You know, do you understand what we're asking here? Do you want to read some scripture about it? And so I was just talking to her, and she said, well, I keep hearing these three words in my head, but I just know that it's from the lady that speaks in tongues at my church. And I promise you. And I said to her, okay, I don't believe for 1 minute that you have somehow memorized this woman's prayer language who speaks out at some points in your church. That is the lie that the enemy tells people, is that you are copying somebody else's. And the truth is, even if some of us do speak the same words, that's not a bad thing. This is a language. It is unknown to us, but I can go into a convenience store where they're speaking an unknown language, and if two of them say the same word, that doesn't discount the language. So we don't have to worry about that. We can apply faith and trust that God is teaching us. I believe submitting our tongue to the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues prepares us to speak His words in English. Because when we witness, I am not about, like, it doesn't need to just be an argument where I prove to you that I'm right and you're wrong. The goal of witnessing is to hear what God is saying, because different people need different modes of witness. We see that with Jesus. Some people, he said, you need to sell all that you have and give to the poor and then come and follow me. Some people, he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Other people, he responded to each one. To the woman at the well, he said, you've had five husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. I mean, he knew because he was listening. He was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so as we speak in tongues, as we submit our tongue to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we are given power to witness. And I believe submitting my tongue to the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues also prepares me to submit my tongue to the Holy Spirit when He wants me to speak in English, when He wants me to tell a woman, you are just beautiful. Like, you know, do you just realize how beautiful? That might be exactly what she needs to hear that day. And, you know, it might open the door for me to minister to her. The Lord might want me to pray with somebody. He might want me to just, you know, invite somebody to church. And so we need to not just make it about us, but make it about a partnership with Him. That if I go into, like Rick has said, if I go into Walmart or Dollar General, I am have my ears open to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do you want me to minister? And me and Denise were talking this past week, and she was saying how she went into a store and she just passed a man, and she said, I could just feel the despair. She said, so I just started praying. As children of God, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He cares about the people around us. He cares about the students at the high school and middle school. He cares about the children of the elementary school. And so if we can train ourselves to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that's something that I've prayed for my children. God, help them to have open eyes to see those that you want them to minister to and to know how to minister. It's not about us having all the knowledge. It is about us being submitted to the Holy Spirit to have our ears open to what He wants to say. Okay, I want to cover two more sets of verses, and then we're going to wrap up with a couple of verses and Mom giving her testimony. Acts 4:23-31. I want us to read this because even if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit before, you have spoken in tongues before, there is nothing wrong with asking God to refill, to keep us full of His presence. In Acts 4:23, so this is the disciples, and after they had been beaten and they had come back to their own company, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord. So they just started in prayer, praying with all of those that they were with, the group of Christians that they were with. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So this was a very different than how they had been before. By submitting themselves to the Holy Spirit, God was giving them revelation. They were speaking with boldness. In fact, they had been told not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, and yet they went back and just started praying about it. And to look, so they continued. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So they're asking here for boldness, that they would be able to continue to be a witness even though they had been told not to witness anymore. That they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Notice how those two are connected. Again, I believe that's because when I submit my tongue to speak in tongues and led by the Holy Spirit, I am also preparing my tongue to speak in English the words that God would have me to say. The Bible says in Jude, it builds us up on the inside. It builds up my spirit man. And so when I am full spiritually, I am able to speak more for the Lord as God would have me to. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul talks, and we will feel like cover this at some point during this month, because in 1 Corinthians 14, if you read chapter 12 through 14, but specifically in chapter 14, there's a lot of talk about the gift of tongues, which was used in the church. And of course, people in Corinth had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. My personal opinion is that a lot of them were just talking in tongues all the time because it was so spiritual. And so Paul was like, we have to have some order here. And so he explained in chapter 14 how the order needed to be done in the service. And so he explains that if you're going to speak in tongues in the service, then you need to have an interpreter. Because if people just come in and all you're doing is just speaking in tongues and nobody's speaking in English, then they're not going to be able to agree with you. They're not going to be able to agree with your prayer that you're praying. You know, they're just going to think you're all crazy, you know, or you're all barbarians, it says. But some people take that chapter and the explanation that's given in that chapter and go, well, we need to throw tongues out. But in verse 15 of chapter 14, Paul said, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Because we need to do both. If I am praying in a group of people and we're praying for somebody, I'm going to pray in English so that we can all be in agreement. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't speak in tongues. We need both. Verse 18 of chapter 14, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Because speaking in tongues is such a powerful part of the Christian life. And it's important that we do that. The Smith Wigglesworth, who lived many years ago, but was used mightily in the miraculous. I mean, people were raised from the dead. I mean, just multiple mighty miracles that God used him. The book that I've been reading about him called Faith That Prevails, I want to just show you. Do you have that for that slide, Joe? Okay, I don't know if you can read that, but I'll read it to you. He says there are two sides to this baptism. The first is that you possess the Spirit. The second is that the Spirit possesses you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not so that I can check my spiritual box, say how spiritual I am, and then go on my merry way living my life. It is so that I am more full of the Holy Spirit and He has more of me. It says, I see people from time to time, very slack, cold, and indifferent. But after they get filled with the Holy Spirit, they become ablaze for God. I believe that God's ministers are to be flames of fire. Nothing less than flames. Nothing less than mighty instruments with burning messages, with a heart full of love, with such a depth of consecration that God has taken full charge of the body and it exists only that it may manifest the glory of God. This is the Christian life. This is not just to be one Christian that is really super spiritual. That is to be all of us as Christians, full of the Holy Spirit, completely surrendered to the will of God, our lives laid down for His will, consecrated to live every day, submitted to Him, doing His will, speaking His words with His priorities, so that His plans can be accomplished in the earth. He says, surely this is the ideal and the purpose of this great plan of salvation for man, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God and become ministers of life. That is the goal as Christians, that we be full of the presence of God. If you put up that next slide, This was him speaking again. He said, I want ever to be in Paul's position, that at any time, even at midnight, in the face of anything, even death itself, God may be able to manifest his power and do what he wants to do through me. This is what it means to be possessed by the Spirit of God. Let's see. Do I have more of that? Okay, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. None of us is going to be able to be a minister of this new covenant of the promise and the unction and power of the Holy Spirit without humility. It seems to me that the way to get up is to get down. It is clear to me that it is in the measure that the dying of the Lord is in me, that the life of the Lord will abound in me. Of course, I shared last Sunday morning that I had planned to speak on the gifts of the Spirit last Sunday morning, at least during the week. That's what I thought I was speaking on. And then as I began to, you know, write out the message, the Holy Spirit just began to teach me that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the death of Jesus, into dying to myself so that I can say like Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that's what it means, is that as we die to ourselves, we can have more of Christ in us and more of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. So I want to share Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, and then I want Mom to share her testimony. So Acts 19, I thought I had it on my notes, but I do not see it here. Oh, here it is. Okay. Acts 19, 1 through 7 says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, this is years later. The book of Acts was not written, you know, across a year or two. This is years later when this happened. And so this wasn't, the baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't something that they just did for the first 2 or 3 years after Jesus was resurrected. So when they got there, they're asking these disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit? So they said to him, we haven't so much heard that there was a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. That's as far as they had heard. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's cool here because they don't get into a big theological debate about, well, no, John's baptism is enough for me. Like, they're like, there's more? Tell us about the more that there is. And so then they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all.
My testimony is different than Pastor Rick's because we had been in the church for about a year and a half, and we were committed to the Lord, and we were hungry for the Lord, and we wanted all that Jesus had to offer. And so I had begun to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I had begun to earnestly pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I memorized the scriptures, I meditated the scriptures, I could tell you in the Gospels what the Gospels said, I could go through Acts with you, but all of that to no avail. Every call for the baptism, I would go up and I wouldn't receive, and I just, at times, I would think, okay, God just doesn't want me to receive, and I'd just almost pout. But he would let me pout, and then I'd get hungry again. And this one particular day, the whole church service was emphasizing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that morning, the teaching was on that scripture we just read in Acts 19. And it became so clear to me. I had quit everything I could think of. I had started everything I thought would make God happy for like a year and a half. I had worn myself out. And when I heard those verses, I realized those men, They were not born again. They had believed the baptism of repentance. Paul led them and talked with them, baptized them in water. They were born again. He laid hands on them, and very simply, they received the baptism. All the lights came on in my head. I had been begging God to do something for which he wanted me to receive even more than I wanted to receive. I was so sure. Like I say, the whole day was dedicated to this. The pastor had asked anybody that wanted to receive come to his office hour early before church. And when we went out to eat that afternoon, I told Robert, I will receive the baptism tonight. He said, oh, yeah, I've seen you go up a bunch of times. But now he hadn't received either. But sure enough, we went to church, and I went to the pastor's office, and I heard some more teaching, and he preached a sermon. I could hardly wait for him to quit talking so I could go to the altar and receive. I was so sure that I would receive the baptism. The lady that came up with me, she gave me a short testimony. She said, I was like you, honey. She had watched me over the months. She said, I just had begged and pleaded. And one day I was out feeding my chickens. And as I threw the chicken feed out, I realized I was just speaking fluently in tongues. So in the chicken yard, threw her hands up and was so delighted. And she laid hands on me and I received the baptism. And I was so thankful because, as Pastor Shannon just taught us, this for me was over 50 years ago. Singing in the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, being comforted by the Spirit, talking with the Spirit. I just can't recommend it enough. If you have to go a few times to receive, keep pressing. But the one thing that I believe would really help everybody, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when I received, I could have told you about every scripture in the Bible about the Holy Spirit and the baptism. So one way your faith will grow is meditate in the scriptures. Let them come alive in your heart, and faith will come, and you'll receive the baptism. He's a gift.
Amen. Well, I want to read one last scripture, and then we are going to have an altar call a little different. I'm going to ask you, because if you are a Christian, now if you're not a Christian and you need salvation, then we want to pray with you first about that. But if you are a Christian, you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within you, and he will speak to you. And different people receive different ways. It's not like we've said, some people come to the altar, have hands laid on them, and they don't speak in tongues. They go home in their prayer closet or in their, you know, bread truck. We had one guy that happened while he was driving down the road in his bread truck, started speaking in tongues. So it doesn't always look the same. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, however you feel led. If you feel led to come up front and kneel and pray, we will lay hands on you and pray for you. If you feel at peace that I'm just going to sit right here and God, I am going to submit my tongue as you give me utterance, I'm going to speak it. However you feel led, we're going to invite you to do that while the song plays. But I would encourage you, like Mom said, have faith. And that's why I want to read this verse before we go into this. Luke 11, verse 9 through 13. This was Jesus talking. And he said, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And there is an exclamation point at the end of that exclamation point. That's what Jesus said. And so I do want to challenge you, if you have already been filled with the Holy Spirit and you have spoken in tongues, but we all can seek more of God's presence and more of His Spirit. And so I would challenge you, wherever you are spiritually, just take this time and say, God, I just want more of you. I want to die to the flesh, but I just want more of you. And speaking in tongues, I will tell you this, the more that you do it, the less awkward that it feels. Just the same as when I was learning to speak Spanish to Rick's family. The more that I speak Spanish, the less awkward I feel in speaking it. And the same is true in speaking in tongues. And the other thing is, you don't have to have the same experience you had the first time in order to speak in tongues again. Some people feel like, well, I felt the presence of God and I was shaking and I can't just do that like when I'm in my car or like if I'm at home. That's not true. The presence of the Holy Spirit and the language that God gives us is a gift for us to be connected with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to feel spiritual in order to speak in tongues. So if you have questions, of course, we would love to talk to you about it more. But I just want to invite you at this time, just the whole church, that we would just be in an attitude of worship, just seeking more of God as the song plays.